Hello there, it's Lex and Stacy, threesome podcast number 51. On the way to our next 50. Good times.
Yes. Yes.
There have been some really good threesome podcasts and some really bad ones. But
I don't know what you're talking about.
But when I look back on it, I would say we're clearly in the upper 80 percentile as far as kicking ass.
Well, cool.
And I think we'd be in the 90s if we cut our first 10 or 15 out of the mix.
We were figuring it out.
We were definitely,
I was more than you.
We were definitely figuring it out, technologically speaking and editing wise and everything else. So I think right now we're in a good place. We've just been churning them out. Today is our long episode. So we have a lot to talk about. We commiserated a little bit beforehand, and we both kind of hit on something that we want to talk about, and that is the passing on to simple manners to our children. I personally don't think it is in my house, and it seems to be like in Dee's house, who I work with. That's who I have the most interaction with as far as kids go. And a couple of other friends, so to speak. But outside of that, especially at some of these horse shows and things like that, I see some really poorly mannered kids. And I think to myself, the parents don't seem to be that ill-mannered, and I'm wondering what the disconnect is here.
Well, I think it's safe to say that most parents are probably Generation X, or if you've got, you know, people who had kids when they were fairly young, but I can't imagine they would probably have them at horse shows because they couldn't afford it. I don't know. I am almost constantly disappointed by, for instance, the people I went to high school with. I just can't believe the way they turned out.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, when you're young and people were funny and they were hip and they were nice and they were all this. And I see so many of them that have become their parents and have become superficial and all this stuff. So I really don't know, like, from a parenting standpoint, what they would be thinking. But I know that we were the latchkey kids. I know that we were the ones who allegedly were the first to be fucked up from everyone divorcing and everything. So maybe that's what it is. Maybe it really made a bigger difference.
You know, I wasn't a latchkey kid, but my dad worked 9 a.m. to 9 at night, 5 days a week. And on Saturday from 7 a.m. to like 6 p.m., I really didn't have much interaction with him, to be honest. My mom raised me manner-wise and pretty much in every other way. And I spent one day a week with my dad. And it was probably enough for me to be passed on some manners. And that meant, like, at restaurants, I just remember phrases like, "Don't you get out of your fucking chair." Don't you throw your napkins or throw your, you know, quit fussing with your silverware. Just quit being a douchebag kid. And sit and relax like everybody else and enjoy your meal, which is what we're here for, to enjoy a meal. It's not fucking playtime. It's not run around the restaurant. It's we're here to enjoy a meal without having to cook or clean. Plain and simple.
Right. And look around the room. There are other adults in here. Yes, some kids, but there are other grown-ups in here that, who are paying their money to enjoy themselves as well. And it is not any little angel's God-given right to go running around screaming and yelling, running between tables and just being little assholes to ruin other people's time.
I know Sandy spent time Making sure Samantha had the manners of saying thank you and appreciating things being done for her and letting people know it. And yes, sir, no, ma'am, thank you, ma'am, all that stuff. I can't tell you. I mean, just the basics, right? You know, of common.
So those are saying thank you and you're welcome. And yes, please is a big thing. I would consider very much the very basics.
Yeah, there's like, you know, you and I could probably sit down and write 10 manner basics and probably hit on 8 of them each. Wouldn't you say?
I think so.
Yeah. So that was basically as far as it went. We didn't go out of our way. We just made sure she did the proper things. And I can't tell you how many times when we would like have her stay at a friend's house overnight or something like that, where the dad or mom wouldn't pull us aside and go, your kid can stay here anytime she wants. She has wonderful manners. She's such a sweet kid. And, you know, we're looking at each other like, what have you done with Samantha? And
but it feels good, too, when you hear that about your child, because, you know, you don't want to know that she's like, Eve or something.
No,
you know,
no.
Just evil.
No, at first, though, we were like patting ourselves on the back. And then we started realizing after having some of those kids at our house that the bar set really low. You know, kids running through my house, throwing our pillows from the couch at each other, knocking stuff over and having no remorse about it. You know, just stupid fucking things.
I know.
You know, where it's like, you get away with this at your house? Seriously?
I know, that's the thing. If you can't even get away at your own house, but then to consider doing it at someone else's house, you know?
Yeah. And but my point is, I think they do get away with it at their own house.
Well, I know. I mean, I'm just saying, like, oh, my God, Jesus. I'm really glad I never spawned, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't believe some of these girls' behavior when they'd come to the house. And it was kind of funny, like when she got older, like 13 or 14, and then we'd have, you know, boys and girls coming to the house, that the boys seemed to have much better manners than the girls did, which didn't, which was not the case when I was growing up.
Well, I was going to say, again, I think that goes with my theory that teenage girls are the worst human beings in the world.
Yeah, but. Even though they are...
Kudos to you for living through one.
And thank you. I'm not completely done. I got 9 more days or something like that.
Ooh, tick-tock.
Yeah, but I just remember the girls, even though in school and stuff and socially how they could be evil, when you got around them in adult environments, they were very well-mannered and polite and handled themselves properly. These girls, uh-uh. No fucking way. And I just don't understand it. I don't know how this happened, but some of these houses are, they're not broken homes or latchkey. They're both their parents are at home and they are just hell on wheels.
Growing up, you know, again, we were taught, please, thank you, you're welcome, you know, and also to like look someone in the eye, you know, saying thank you or apologizing means a lot more if you actually look someone in the eye when you're saying it. We were taught that. The idea of ever, ever, ever mouthing off to either of our parents in public in front of other grown-ups, it just didn't even cross our minds. And, you know, we weren't abused, beaten children or anything.
No.
It was just, you don't do that, you know? And what you said about, you know, being grateful and for what people do for you and stuff. My grandma, we had a little asparagus patch in the back of our house, and every spring when it would come up, my dad and I would go out when I was just a little kid, and he'd cut it all up and he'd come in and he'd make that asparagus, and the two of us would just sit there and eat it.
Right.
And he was very proud of the fact that his above toddler child was eating asparagus.
Yeah.
So he'd mentioned this to his mom, my grandma. So grandma, who is the sweetest woman that has ever lived, made me a big bowl of creamed asparagus, which was the most vile, awful thing I've ever seen.
Yes.
And I hope to never experience it again. But she'd made it for me specifically because Dad had told her I liked asparagus, but she creamed it. And I sat right there and I said, "This is really good, Grandma. Thank you." And, you know, I'm, again, just a little kid, probably 5 or 6, I'm going to guess, and ate that bowl of creamed asparagus, and it was awful. And my dad later told me, you know, I'm really proud of you for doing that, for basically taking one for the team. And I'm sure he probably told Grandma later, don't ever make that for her again. But it wasn't even a question of going, "Ew, Grandma, that's gross."
No.
Thank you, Grandma. Thank you for making that for me. You know, that's what you say, that's what you do.
I remember thinking a friend of mine was out of line for looking at my mom and saying, "I'm sorry, Mrs. Staley, I don't like this." Which today would be considered extremely polite.
Right.
But
you try everything. You know, that was another thing. If you're like at a grown-up, your parents are having dinner for someone else or we're going someplace else, you try that food, even though it's the weirdest, creepiest looking food that you've never wanted to eat. You try it and you take little tiny portions, because if you don't like it, then you're not wasting a whole bunch of it, you know? And you, the point of manners is to respect the people around you.
Use your head, you know, when you're at a buffet type situation at a house, exactly right. If you see something there that you know is not going to meet with your culinary needs, you grab a couple bites and you deal with it.
And plus, too, I think, you know, it's just good to kind of teach kids to try something. Even if it looks awful, you never know, you might like it. And if you don't like it, at least you tried it and you know for sure.
Right.
Get over it and move on, you know?
Yeah. And these things don't happen anymore. She had one friend in particular, when she'd go to her house, every time I'd pick her up on Saturday or Sunday morning, if she spent the night, the dad would go, "You know what astounds me about Samantha? She actually takes her plate and takes it in and washes it off and puts it in the dishwasher." And I went, "Your kids don't?" Because, you know, that's the first thing. I mean, and it's all based off of selfish needs of how you want people to perceive you. But I was always like, don't make me look bad. Put your dishes away. Make sure you say thank you. Make sure you ask them if there's anything you can do to help clean up. All that stuff.
Yes. You ask those things. You put the other person kind of in front of you. That's what manners are.
And I just thought it was kind of weird. I have somebody go, "That's amazing she does that." I'm like, "You didn't teach your kid that? Are you serious?"
Honestly, I think the idea of getting a kid to actually say to anyone, "Can I help you with that?" outside of like a McDonald's setting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To just walk up to a human and say, "Oh, it looks like you're having a hard time. Do you need help with that? Would you like me to help you with that?"
Yeah.
That doesn't happen.
Yeah, they'd go to the grocery store and get stuff to make cookies and stuff. Sam helps carry it in, things like that. Just all stuff she was taught to do. And, yeah, were there other kids that came to our house that did that? Sure. But I would say 50% were taught none of those things. In fact, I actually had one kid say, "Our maid does that."
Well, shame on the parents, honestly.
Yeah.
Shame on them.
You know, they had
all
like,
you're doing is raising a self-entitled little ass fuck.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
And when Samantha would leave like dishes in the sink and they say, you know, in less than a decade, you're going to have roommates and they're going to look at you and go, "Fuck you for leaving your dishes in the sink and leaving your shit laying around." I said, I say there's nothing worse, Samantha, than having somebody like that living in the house. I don't care how pretty you are. I don't care how desirable you are. There's going to be some guy at some point that says, hey, put your fucking shit away.
Yep.
I said, there's, yep. I said, the world is littered with beautiful girls on their third marriage. Because
who still don't have an idea how to clean.
Yeah. Who all any guy probably asked of them was to pick up after themselves. Not even for me. Don't even do it for me. Pick up after yourself.
Well, you know, and this, let's hold this because I want to keep on this topic. But when the celebrity nude scandal happened with Jennifer Lawrence and everything.
Yeah.
And that was one of my biggest issues. Not, I mean, I felt terrible that she, you know, had her privacy invaded like that. But I sat there and was like, what a fucking slob. What a fucking slob. Pick some clothes up off the floor, Jesus.
Uh-huh.
People are seeing this and you're sending these six sexy photos to your boyfriend, allegedly. Does he want to see, you know, 52 garments laying on the floor just crumpled around you? And I'm not even a neat freak, but I was just totally horrified by
yeah.
how fucking slovenly Jennifer Lawrence is.
It speaks volumes about somebody.
Yes.
It really does. I was just, right before I came over here, I was watching, you ever seen Wife Swap?
No, but I know the gist of it.
Yeah, the gist. Okay, so there's a... It's Vern Troyer, Mini-Me, and his chick, and Hines Ward with the Steelers, formerly with the Steelers, now a broadcaster, and his wife. And they switch places, and Vern Troyer's girlfriend seemed like a pretty cool chick, but she goes into Hines Ward's house.
Is she normal-sized?
She's normal-sized. She goes into Hines Ward's house, and her whole mantra was, live a little bit. Don't be afraid to make a mess. And she's like writing on windows and she's cooking spaghetti and throwing the spaghetti against the wall to see if it sticks, you know, and stuff like that. And he's completely uncomfortable with it. And I'm like, what a douchebag you are, honey.
Yes. I agree.
Okay, yeah,
I've never written on anything.
Yeah, is he overboard as far as his cleanliness and his schedule being, you know, completely in line? Yes. But do you have to take it so far where you're dumping shit on the floor in front of his kid and say, leave it there, it's okay, we'll get to it when we get to it? What are you teaching this kid? What is the purpose of this? Why are you making this guy uncomfortable? Why are you such a loser?
Right.
This is why you ended up with Vern Troyer. You know, and over at her house, you know, she's got a 16-year-old kid who's just coming and going as he pleases. Doesn't say where he's going. They don't bust his balls to do homework. Any of that stuff. And
nice.
And
Hein- a total, like, celebrity kid kind of thing.
But yeah, except he's the son of the girlfriend. That's Vern Troyer has no interest in having a kid, like, whatsoever. He basically leaves the parenting up to her. He plays video games with the kid. That's about it. And
nice.
and she had no infusion of her lifestyle in the house. It was all his, you know, miniature furniture and male game room, and you know, it's like she was basically could have packed a bag and left and you would have seen no remnants of her living there whatsoever. And it's like, I just don't understand why people don't think of other people anymore. I don't understand it.
It's a loss of respect. It's, and you know, I do believe that there's a certain point of it not being taught, but then I think also the kids maybe who have been shown some, then they see all the other people who don't have respect for anything. And then they're just like, I don't care. I don't know. I do go out of my way. You know, I hold doors open. I don't care if you're man, woman, young or old. If you're a big construction worker guy, but you've got a armful of beer, I will open the door and hold it for you as you're walking out of the convenience store.
Yeah,
I don't care.
This poor guy's coming out of Lowe's one day, and he's an older man. I mean, like 90, you know, late 80s.
Oh.
And he's on.
Oh, I love old people.
And he's on one of those carts. And the thing, the gist of the cart was he'd like crank it up. It could go like 5 feet. And then he had to wait like 30 seconds to go another 5 feet. So I came out and I helped him to his car. And I couldn't, the thing was so heavy, I couldn't even, once it died, I couldn't even get it pushed back to inside. So I went back inside to tell somebody. And there's a girl standing there looking out the window who, like, takes care of the carts and stuff. And I went, hey, this guy's cart is broken down. And, you know, he had a really hard time getting to his car. And, you know, he's kind of upset with you guys. And to be frank, I am too. And she goes, yeah, I saw him out there. And I went, you did? And she goes, yeah, he seemed to be doing all right. I said, well, he fucking wasn't. I said, what about going 5 feet at a time in a fucking roadway that's got cars going back and forth on it? Do you not understand? How fucking stupid are you? I mean, I was outraged. I was pissed. She goes, you don't need to talk to me like that, sir. And I'm like, yeah, I do. I can't believe you're that. You got your head up your ass that far. You can't see a 90-fucking-year-old man, a veteran, by the way, honey, who's sitting there in the middle of the fucking street trying to do it himself because let's go back to what I just told you. He's a veteran, and he's a badass, and he's just trying to take care of himself. But no. Nobody wants to go out and help him. I said that, you know.
That's why I hate people. I really.
Yeah.
I just.
So I went over to our manager and I just said, I don't know what kind of employee this chick is. I said, but you have her on the wrong station. You need to have her like doing something more medial, because her people skills suck major ass. And I told him about.
You.
And I told him about it, and he just kind of shrugged his shoulders. And I'm like, really?
See, that's when you start writing emails and making phone calls farther up the chain.
Yeah, or
that's
I could.
That's what you do.
Or I could do my video that went to 46,000 people on Facebook.
Good. Good for you.
You know, and
Twitter's a good way to get points across too.
Yeah, and yeah, I tweeted it also. I was pissed.
Good, you should have been, and I'm glad.
And that's a, you know, what looked anywhere between a 19 to 23 year old girl in there, who obviously was not taught any fucking manners or values or respect or any of that stuff.
See, all of my grandparents were a lot older. They had my mom and dad right at the tail end of their fertile years. And, you know, I was just around a lot of elderly people at a very young age. You know, I was in sixth grade when my grandpa died, and he had full-blown Alzheimer's. I think that's pretty young to be dealing with that, but, you know, I did. I love the elderly. I especially love little old farmers. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I love little old farmers, but I love the elderly. I love little old ladies who are spunky and swear like a sailor. And I love little old guys who have their pants pulled up too tight and they have their dorky trucker hat on that's not, you know, that's straight across and stuff. I love the way they dress and look, and I want to hug them all. And I become weirdly protective of them.
Yeah.
You know, I saw an old guy who had fallen down and I couldn't get to him. It was like across the street and stuff. But these little fuckers stood around him and laughed. And I was just furious. I there was nothing I could do about it. And he is struggling to get up. I mean, he's just a little old guy in like a little like plaid shirt, button down shirt with like factory pants on and stuff.
If I caught if I caught my kid laughing at somebody like that, I would disown her.
I would probably beat my child if that happened. I hate to say that, you know, especially in this day and age, but they would know.
No, that's why all this is going on. Don't you get it? That's why all this is going on. Yeah.
I had a healthy fear of my mom and dad, and it sounds like you did too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, did I think they were going to kill me and give me a black eye? No. And no. I'm not making light of anyone who had parents that would do that.
No, but there's a disconnect.
I still feared them.
There's a disconnect, the difference between parenting and, you know, I never for a moment, even when I got a belt taken to me or whatever, which wasn't often, I'll be honest. It was probably less than five times in my whole life, but I deserved every one of them. And
right.
I never got the sense I was not loved by my parents. You know, I just never thought that for one single second. I got what I had coming to me. And that may be an unpopular thing to say in this day and age, but it's absolutely true that disciplining your kids is not easy for a parent to do. If you love your kids, it's not easy to do. And it's necessary.
And stop being your kid's friend, please.
Yeah.
That's another part of the big part of the issue, I think, is moms trying to desperately cling to their youth. So they're getting their tattoos with their teen daughters mm-hmm. and stuff. And it's like, no, you know what? You're a soccer mom. Dress like one and act like one.
Or if you're getting, if you want tattoos too, go get them by yourself.
And don't show them to your daughter until she's well past the age of 18.
Yeah.
How's that, you know?
No, my daughter has been rousting me for a tattoo for probably about a year. And I'm like, when you're 18, you can go do whatever you want. That's not happening on my watch. Sorry.
So 9 days till the tramp stamp.
I told her don't do a tramp stamp. I said
something tribal on her ankle.
And this is the way I talk to her. I just say, look, if these are the kind of things you want to do, let's at least talk about what looks good and what looks bad.
I like the 3D looking ones.
Yeah, my thing with her with tattoos is make sure you can live with this in 30 years because you're going to be.
Yes.
And I also said tattoo removal is one of the most painful things on planet Earth. So don't put something on you somewhere that is cool for 2 weeks and then the waves of regret come in. Really put some thought into this. Really put lots of thought into this.
Like the oriental symbols and the tribal things seem to be like all part of the 90s. I don't know. As I said, I really like the 3D ones.
Yeah.
If you get like the right artist who knows what they're doing, it's like, wow, it looks like it's really just like sitting there waiting to jump off your skin. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I got a tribal one on my right arm, but I don't have regrets about it. It was happening at the time.
How long ago did you get it, though?
I think it was somewhere in 01, somewhere around there.
Okay, so see, coming out of the 90s.
Yeah, and it was
totally acceptable.
And it basically was to augment this little lone tattoo I have that's a bunch of interlocking S's for my wife and my daughter. And it has but
that's cool.
Well, it is.
Did you want to change to Wino forever?
No, Stacy, because I'll tell you why. It's a part of my life. It's something that happened in my life. I don't regret it. I don't have any bad feelings about it. I put all that thought into it when I had it done. Trust me.
Well, good.
So it's not an issue with me. It's not getting changed.
If anyone asks, you could say it's Stacy too.
It's not getting changed. It's not getting over. It's staying where it is. Cause when it was done, things were good.
Well, good.
You know, these things are supposed
not so much now.
These things are supposed to tell a story, and they do.
Well, good.
Yeah, I don't care what you think about it anyway, but
I do think it's good, and I'm glad that you are okay.
No, you don't. I can tell you don't, but I don't give a shit.
No, it's just funny because
it's not funny.
Anyone who puts something like that on their body, it usually ends badly. That's all. And I'm glad that you're okay with it. And you are, I think, very healthy in looking at it as it tells a story, a part of your life. And that is good. I am very happy for you.
It's a 30-year part of my life. It's not like I put some bitch I fucked at the weekend dance or whatever on there and she's long gone. This is somebody that was in my life well over half of it. So it's part of my story. I'm fine with it.
Exactly.
I've never even thought about it till now, really.
Well, good.
I don't need your affirmation.
Reaction.
I just don't need your affirmation, so.
Okie dokie.
Okay, good. All right, so as far as the manners things go, the other day, Lisa and I are out walking the dogs, and we go by this FedEx driver, and he looked like he was 30-ish, somewhere around there. Definitely the upper part of the age where the manners thing starts. And I told Dee this story, how the guy just said a mere hello to Lisa. I'm walking like 15 feet ahead, and the guy's looking over at me like, I can have your bitch anytime I want, you know, just because she said hello to him. And I'm looking at him, and he looks back at me like, yeah, I could have her. You know, it's hard to explain it, but that's kind of what he was doing.
There was dick swinging.
Yeah, and, you know, she literally said hello and didn't turn back to look at him. But he's like looking at her ass and then looking over at me, and I look, you know, so I was like, by the time I got inside, I said, you know, that motherfucker just needs punched in the face. But I composed myself and just went upstairs. But it's somebody who obviously is just constantly disrespectful when it comes to women and men. There's no decorum, you know. I would never think, you know, if a guy's out on a date with a chick and she says hello to me or shows me a little bit of attention with a nice smile or something like that, that, you know, anything at that moment in time is going to happen. You know what I mean? It's like, it's in that moment of time, and it's just like.
You're not on the prowl, though. You know what I mean? I mean,
I know, but even if I was on the prowl, even if I was out at that club and I was looking for somebody to go home with or whatever, I wouldn't start with a guy who was on a date with somebody. I just wouldn't do that to him, even though I don't know him. Or, you know, even if she showed me attention, I would be like, not cool, babes, you know? And so I told Dee this story, and he came up with the term Thundercats. And he was talking to, I guess, his dad or something, and he goes, you know, these young Thundercats today, they don't care about respect. They don't care about any of the stuff that we cared about growing up. They like the rebel thing. They like the causing problems thing. And I'm like, where does that come from? How does that happen in one generation?
Because they've been given everything. You know, they when you have been handed everything and you don't have to show respect, you know, if you are given a toy, but you're given every toy that you ever wanted, you're never going to learn to take care of that toy, because if that toy gets broken, then you don't have a toy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you just don't give a shit about anything. It all just is given to you. And this is like the millennial thing, I think, is everything's been given to them, and there is no passion. They don't have to work for anything. You know, it's just a generation of laziness and ease.
Yeah,
and
but
so when they want something, they think they can just take it.
But this is a clean-cut guy who obviously took care of himself, had a nice job. This is not some douchebag looking dude. You know, you'd look at this guy and go, he has his shit together. You know, and
he's probably used to other people thinking the exact same thing, and so he gets puss thrown at him all the time. Probably.
And
or being the UPS guy, there's that whole stereotype of, you know, getting to bang all the women at home waiting for packages.
Yeah, I mean, I literally heard what she said. She was like, "Hey, what's up?" That's it. You know,
that whore.
And he just acted like he was going to fuck her tonight. And you know, when we got in the elevator, she was like, "What are you so worked up about?" And I said, "Has nothing to do with you, believe it or not." I said, "But that guy just needs his fucking ass kicked, plain and simple. I want to go back and do him a favor."
Getting spanked by the legend.
I said, "'Cause sooner or later, he's going to do that to the wrong guy," which almost was me, "and he is going to get fucked up. Because if he thinks that, that was a come on, I can't imagine." I can't imagine.
Well, first of all, what kind of piece of shit would Lisa have been? And I, you know, not, you know what I'm saying? If she had turned around and been like, "Hey, sailor, what up?" You know, like, she's gonna,
yeah, that's
that
what I was trying to,
you or any woman.
That's what I was trying to explain to her, is you should be pissed off at this. That's what he thinks of you, that you're just going to bend over and let him stick it in before the truck gets, you know, drives off. I said, he needs his fucking ass beat. Sorry, no manners. Once again. But,
and see, that's like an adult thing, that there's code. You know, everyone as a grown up has their code. Like you just said, you would never, if you got the sense that a woman was with a date, like at a club or something, other than just saying hi, you're not going to be all like, yo, babe, what's up? You know?
No, the only fight I ever got in was my 18th birthday. I was at a bar, and this girl was like, "Hey, it's your birthday." And I'm like, "Yeah." She goes, "Come sit down and talk to me." Really cute girl, really outgoing and everything. And this guy shows up, you know, just, I'd say about 15 minutes later. And he says, "You're spending a little too much time with my girlfriend." And I went, and I literally, this is what I said. I went, "Oh." I said, "I am so sorry. I had no idea. She, you know, we were just hanging out and talking." I said, "She, you know," I said, "I'm, gotcha, man. No problem." And of course he says,
I think that's very acceptable.
Yeah. And
you
he,
know,
of
course, that's good.
Yeah. And he of course says, "Oh, you just think you're walking away?" And I said, "Yes, I do."
I was hoping.
Yeah. I said, look, man, I don't want any trouble. I don't want any problems. You know, I really meant no disrespect. I did not know she was in a relationship. Otherwise, I wouldn't have talked to her to begin with. My apologies. Okay? Anyway, we ended up in a fight. We ended up going to jail. All that stuff.
I didn't know you went to jail, Lex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Spend the night?
The bouncer at the place who saw the whole thing made a statement, and the judge let me off. Just let me go home. No record, good. No nothing.
Good.
And my dad was like, tell me about the fight.
Let me live vicariously through you.
I'm like, it was very short-lived. There was a big fucking bouncer with giant hands that went all the way around my biceps. And I, at that point, went, okay, I'll just wait for the police, all right? And
did
that's
they go around anything else?
No. And if they did, I don't remember. I was pretty worked up and scared and, you know, just... You know, not to mention it was my 18th birthday, which at the time that was the legal age of drinking. So I was a little bit drunk, and it was just it was all kinds of stuff going on there. So I just kind of took my medicine, sat in the clink all night, and the judge in the morning let me out, let me go home. So, but it was just, I'm just trying to get across that I was cool about it. I actually really felt bad about it. And he, of course, just, there's probably a good reason in his behavior why she did want to talk to me. 'Cause he was an ass. And that's pretty much, was the way it went. So, there it is. Manners.
Yes.
That's our take
lots
on it.
Lots of manners.
We pretty much hate douchebags that don't have any.
You can't blame a little kid, you know, for not knowing to say please and thank you if mommy and daddy never taught them. But once a child gets into their teens, especially late teens, they should know better whether or not mom and dad taught them. You should just know to say please and thank you and to just be cool. Just be nice.
These aren't the only
good things for people.
Parents aren't the only people you learn manners from. You can learn them from your friends. You can learn them from, you know, bosses you work for. You can learn them from teachers. You learn them from all kinds of people. Usually who will be happy to teach you when you display you don't have any. You know, place settings, napkin stuff, all that.
Yes.
Was taught to me by somebody else.
But it was taught to you. You know how to set, you know, I don't know how to set a formal dinner, you know, with the multiple forks and spoons and all that crap. But I do know how to set a table. I know where the forks and the spoons and the knives. I still am surprised at how many people my age, you know, grown-ups don't know how to do that.
Mm-mm.
You know, to them. Setting the table for
them. Yeah, that whole thing cut out. Yeah, let's just let me do this. So while we're talking integrity, Stacy, let's talk about Rick Santorum. Who was in the Duggar's corner till last week, and now he says what?
He says he's sickened by the allegations against Josh Duggar. Sister Toucher, allegedly.
Here's what I learned about our two candidates who have spoken out about this so far. One guy gets it, and the other guy doesn't. Mike Huckabee hanging in there, trying to stay with the Duggar mantra by coming up with some in biblical times thing.
And it's in regards to sisters. That's the thing.
Yeah.
If it wasn't a relative, I could kind of see
sure
what he was trying to get at. But these were his sisters. There's nothing biblical. You don't say okay to sisters anywhere.
No.
Ever.
Ever. Not cool. And Rick Santorum at least is smart enough to distance himself from this.
Rick Santorum also, after the Bruce Jenner interview, I don't remember what the exact quote was, but he came out publicly and said something along the lines of he supports Bruce Jenner, which honestly you could have knocked me over with a feather because it was like, huh? Really? But good for him. Maybe he's pulling his head out of his ass and seeing the world through different eyes.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's a no-lose scenario for him to say that about Bruce Jenner since everybody else seems to be. And I certainly am. If the guy has that kind of conviction at age 65 to finally just say, I've done this long enough, folks. I have these feelings, and it's just the way it is. You know, because it's 65, and I'm in the public eye. I'm not sure I would ever say anything. Why would you?
At 65, you hope that the person knows themselves. You know?
Yeah.
And I do feel terrible if he's lived 60-some years not getting to be who he felt he was. You know, that's tragic.
Yeah. And
it's not hurting anyone, so just let him be happy.
Yeah, so if Rick Santorum actually steps up and says, okay, that's I support him in this, then so be it. That is a major step for him because he is the most inflexible, staunch, keep it in the middle of the road guy that I've ever seen. But I will say this about him. He at least sticks to his brand.
This is the man, though, the whole reason why he doesn't like birth control outside of the whole Catholicism thing is because, quite simply, birth control, if everyone had every child that they conceived, then you eventually, sooner than later, have world overpopulation. And he believes that world overpopulation is how end of days will come. So his whole stance on birth control is an end of days Christ thing. And that scares the shit out of me. And he also doesn't believe in evolution.
Yeah. Yeah, which is just foolish. I mean, come on. Seriously?
I don't want a man in the office that, like, is hoping in the back of his mind to somehow start end of days.
Yeah.
I don't want that. I want my days to continue until I have a natural death.
Yeah, your job's to basically extend our days. You're supposed to extend and improve our days. That is your job as president. If you're not interested in either one of those, you need to drop out. Go. This race is getting just insane. Every one of those candidates to me has flaws. There is nothing fresh about any of them. They all have schmeg on them to me. Scott Walker, schmeg. Ted Cruz, selfish schmeg. Inconsistent, selfish schmeg.
Canadian schmeg.
Yeah. That's one of the inconsistencies right there. Apparently, there's a difference in attachment to the United States between Canada and Kenya.
I know. It's just the utter hypocrisy. You know, I hope that everyone who is an Obama birther becomes a Ted Cruz birther. Otherwise, you're a hypocrite.
Yeah. And just the whole...
Oh, Donald Trump spends millions and millions of dollars looking for Ted Cruz's Canadian birth certificate. You know, everything that they did to Obama, let's do it to Ted Cruz.
He's going to have to. Because if you think somebody's not going to bring that up, you're an idiot. If you think MSNBC is going to let that go, you're stupid. They're going to ask you the question, "Hey Donald, you know, are you a racist? Is that why you're doing that to President Obama and not Ted Cruz?"
I'm sure, you know, their idea is, you know, well, it's just unseemly for us to have a Kenyan president. But it's okay because Canadian are white brethren, you know.
But when there...
That's, I'm sure, totally what that was.
But when there is 20 candidates involved, 20, it's pretty much a given that they are going to be carnivorous towards you before they move on to Hillary. There's only going to be one left standing. So if you think those 19 people or 16 people or whatever it ends up being aren't going to turn their sights on you, Donald, you're stupid. This is
it's like the Republican version of the Highlander. It can be only one.
Yeah. And it's exactly right. And it's going to be dirty and filthy and nasty. And God, I can't wait.
And heads will roll, literally.
Yeah. Woo. Yeah. And when I think about this, who has the resources, the guts, the whole package needed to chop heads off?
Well, that would be Jeb Bush, I think.
That's the name I come up with. As long as Dad's alive and going...
yes.
You know, as long as Dad's alive and saying...
I got Daddy's little black book.
Yeah, when you got the Dick Cheney hotline and... And he calls you, and this is what you need to do. Yeah. I've run background checks on all of them. Here's the shit.
You go get those sons of bitches.
That's right. 10 of the 16 we've taken care of ourselves. The others you'll have to deface publicly. But we've got the shit for you to deface them publicly. I mean, I'm serious. Yeah.
I do admit that I'm really happy that Dick Cheney doesn't know I even exist.
Yes. Yeah, I would not want to be in Dick Cheney's sights by any stretch of the imagination. Definitely a worthy adversary. I know, if you asked all the other countries to, you know, come up with a name that scares the fuck out of them besides, you know, as a vice president, I'm pretty sure he's top of the list. Maybe Lyndon Johnson a close second.
That was just a little before my time.
Yeah.
But I've read stories and seen file footage.
I mean, yeah. for a Democrat, he was kind of a let's do what it takes guy. He didn't fit the mold very well. He just happened to be one, but he supposedly had that whatever it takes for us to get our objective, let's do this. So It's going to be interesting. But, yeah, I have the same name in mind that you do as far as somebody that will. Well, I mean, come on. Look at the shit he pulled in the 2000 election. It's going to be interesting. But.
Yep.
But anyway, there were some things we did not get a chance to get to, but we will next time. And I got a lot of reading to do about it over the weekend. So on our next broadcast, we'll get to it. I suggest you do the same. But the FIFA scandal.
Yes, I admit to have not. I hate soccer, which you just assured me it's so much more than soccer.
Oh, it's really.
I will need to look further into it.
Just put any subject matter in the place of soccer and then just look at the dynamics. The soccer just happens to be the thing it's about. The structure of corruption and the bribes, the racketeering, the depths of, I mean, we're talking, paying somebody off with 10 grand. In a racketeering thing in like a city or something is pretty much standard practice. We're talking hundreds of millions of dollars to bribe somebody to vote a certain way or to think a certain way or to make something happen with numerous people.
Was there human trafficking involved?
I would not be surprised. Supposedly, there's a lot more stuff to come. And they have just scratched the surface, and the scratch is deep, and it's long, and it's filled with all kinds of goodies. So whatever gets heaped in on top of this, because this is just the tip of the iceberg, is going to be pretty interesting. They have 16 names underneath the FIFA president. For some reason, the FIFA president's not implicated in any of this. People on the FIFA board have all been arrested. It's almost like what we'd like to see in our government. Everybody gets arrested but the president. And
that's what happens when you have Dick Cheney's underneath you running everything and saying, "Don't worry, sir, you won't even know about it. We'll just take care of it. It's okay."
And there's all kinds of other subplots attached to it, like the Russians have the World Cup in 2018. And they think that the FBI did this to take their games away from them. There's all kinds of, I mean, you just need to read it all. I'm not a soccer fan either. I could care less, but it really has nothing to do with that. You need to read it.
Wouldn't it be just weird and surreal if it was soccer that caused the Third World War?
It wouldn't surprise me. It is the world's game. Football.
Yes.
Yeah, that we as a country don't seem to give a shit about, but we're the one doing all the arrest and all the causing all the commotion. So just check up on it. We'll talk about it in the next episode. Stacy, we got to get out of here. Thank you for listening to LT2, everybody, all our fellow broadcasters. I want to thank Drew Hillis and the folks at DBC for making this possible. And we will see you on episode 52, our next broadcast of the Threesome Podcast. So goodbye, Stacy.
Bye, Lexi Poo.